Welcome to the Darryl Perry Podcast. This evening, I have Brett on the line with me. Brett, how's it going, man?
Doing pretty well. It's a nice night here in Maryland, so can't complain too much.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, got a number of things that we're going to get into. One, this is Becoming Brett on Instagram for you guys that are not familiar with him. And one thing that you're going to be hearing me talk a lot about is the Becoming More podcast, which is something that you've recently started. And as of right now, guys, while you're listening, I want you to go into the show notes. I actually have Brett's link tree linked up, and this is one of the first, these are the first two links that you're going to see, is both the Apple and the Spotify. So whatever you're listening to right now, whichever platform, go ahead and subscribe to his podcast. And then there's a whole other slew of interviews that you've done. So if they don't like, if they listen to this and they're like, we want more Brett, there's plenty more that we can send them.
Yeah, there are plenty.
Yes. Yes. So, and the other thing, and I thought this was, we were talking about doing these podcasts and you're just casually like, well, yeah, we've got a baby coming in like a week. So, you know, you and I scheduled our podcast and, man, you've got a lot going on right now. It's gotta be crazy there for you.
It's honestly like not too bad. Cause we kind of are where we're at, like we're just waiting now, in March, this is now June, but in March it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just prepping and all that. So,
yeah. So now you're just playing the waiting game.
It's like the calm before the storm.
Just a few days, just about a week.
Yep.
Let's go ahead. We will definitely touch on everything that you've done as far as weight loss, but I mean, what I really have enjoyed with, you know, you and I going back and forth, and we've been connected on social media for a while, but we really kind of started talking within really the last week or so. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of different interests and a lot of different things that you've done. So I kind of want to touch on all of it, but let's start in childhood. Just kind of give us a little bit of background on who you are and where you're from.
Well, I'm born and raised in Reading, Pennsylvania, and, you know, 37, so been around a little bit. As big as almost all my life. I have like two brothers, sister, parents are, they've been separated, divorced for like, since I was like five. So yeah. Always had like kind of two Christmases, two Thanksgivings, all that stuff. Yeah. And then I was like growing up, I wasn't popular. I was very shy. So like, you hear about other fat guys that say, oh, I always took the venom out of people when they would sting me. So cause I always make fun of myself first, not me at all. So growing up and all that, I didn't have a ton of friends. I had like, you can count them on like two hands at most. And then as I got older and like get kind of more confident and all that, started to make friends of common interests, especially like moving outside of where I grew up and all my life. Yeah. Really helped that because I had like, they didn't know me at all. Like they had no idea who Brett was.
Yeah.
So doing that, I also have like, I went to Penn State. I have a bachelor's degree in information security, a master's from another school and also information security. I work in information security. Big shocker there, right? And then I've been doing this weight loss stuff for like the last 3 years. There's a whole long story for that. And when you mentioned my podcast, like I was like debating for a while if I wanted to start a podcast, like because I heard, you know, our mutual friend Gormy talk about how many times he tried to start the podcast and just it took him like a year to really start it. And I had one before that was focused on movies. And I was just like, do I really want to do that again? Zoom makes it super easy. Yes. But you know, it was just one of those things where I'm like, I really want to like give back to the community that's given me a lot. So that's why I started the podcast recently. That's kind of like a really quick overview of who I am.
Yeah. No, that actually gives us a lot of places to go. And one thing that you said that you mentioned how a lot of bigger guys will say, okay, well, you know, I would make myself the punchline before somebody else could. And what you said is I wasn't like that. And I can tell you from when people would say stuff to me when I was a child, like when I was a kid, I wouldn't make the joke either. I would internalize it. And that was, it was tough. And I kind of like, is that kind of what you did too?
For sure. I internalized it and I ate. Because I had, like I said, I had a few friends that I was close to, but for the most part, I wasn't like part of the popular crowd, and I wasn't, you know, so I had a lot of kids that just would be kids and not realize what they're doing. I have much better timing now when people say things to me, but you know, at 10 years old, when you get called a fat ass, what do you say? Like if you don't know quick enough to come back with something. I mean, I even had like my brother's 3 years younger than me, and we would fight all the time. I mean, that's what happens. But even then, like, I still wouldn't with other people like get into like verbal sparring with it, because it just wasn't me.
I understand. And the other reason, because like when you said that, and that's the benefit, again, another shout out to Zoom, I could see on your face. Mm-hmm. And I know that feeling. I remember it. But you said something else that's really important too, which is, you know, you got out of where you grew up, and then you got to meet people, and it kind of took some of the pressure off, because again, like you said, they didn't know you. And, you know, I was having a conversation, somebody this weekend I was talking about, when people were teasing them when they were kids, and how this stuff, like, it'll still like trip in your mind sometimes as an adult. But I think the more important thing here is that, you know, yes, that stuff happened as a kid, but you know, you stepped out of your environment and you were able to, you know, eventually start handling things differently. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You hear that a lot, that guys will use that at the, like, they'll make themselves the punchline, or, you know, I'll say it before somebody else can say it to me, but that's not how all of us dealt with it.
And just to add to that, like, you know, so many times, like I would hear it, and then I it would even be sometimes like some stuff would happen so fast, I wouldn't even catch it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I remember this is later. This is like, I was like in my early 20s. I went to like what we used to like, a wrestling show. I went to like a Monday Night Raw in Philly, and somebody like pointed at me and yelled, "He's pregnant," as we're leaving. And I didn't even catch it. And then my friend's girlfriend did. And she like, she like cursed them out. But, I didn't even catch it. And then I was like, it's not even worth it. Like, what's even the point? Like, and that's some of the time. It's just like, what's the point? Cause like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go like get in a fight with them. That's not beneficial to me either at the same time.
And I mean, it does happen as an adult too. And, you know, I know you and I talked a little bit about my CP when I was on your podcast, but I remember I was leaving a concert, and I was in my 20s. I was probably 21, 22. And there was this group of people, like there was this car that drove by, and they were like making noises and stuff, like, you know, like retarded noises, mental retardation noises and stuff. And like, I looked back at them first, and they were just like laughing at me. And then I kept walking, and then they drove by again. And like, they're literally hanging out of the car doing this. And I'm still like, but it's the same thought you had. I'm like, I'm not going to get in a fight with them over this, but you're like, in your head, you're just like, seriously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that stuff happens, and it's just like, oh, you just, some people, man, you just, you don't know. It's crazy. But before we get into the weight loss story, I do want to, you mentioned how you've done a podcast before, and you're thinking at this time, well, do I really want to get back into this stuff? Describe kind of what, one, you mentioned the format, which was movies, but just like the setup of doing a podcast then kind of versus now, and just kind of how much easier it is.
Well, so back then there were no distribution platforms. So you had to go to each outlet and submit your podcast for their out. Now, mostly it was just iTunes. Mm-hmm. And geez, I don't even know, maybe Pandora. I don't even think, I just say iTunes. All right.
Yeah.
But iTunes, you just submit an RSS link, and you had to figure out how to do that, because there was no like easy way.
Right.
And I don't even remember how I did it, but eventually I got in some emails with Apple support to get on their RSS to get it submitted. And you also had a website and create an RSS link, because you didn't have it created for you by, like, I use captivate.fm. But there's so many versions, right? So you had to create one on your own website. So I had like the filmjury.com, that's what I had, the filmjury.com. And I created an RSS feed, and then I put the link, gave the link to Apple, and then I submitted like the artwork and all that stuff, and like, you know, creating all that. That's just the submission. Then it was the actual producing of the podcast. So there was no Zoom,
right?
Skype we used Skype, and then I had a I had two pieces of software that I used to record my side and their side, because I was getting whatever came through the headphones.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what was coming through the headphones would come, because I had a Yeti at the time, Yeti mic.
Oh yeah.
The Blue Yeti, and it would pick up what was in the headphone. It would pick up the headphones like this, like these headphones. Like I had Bose noise canceling headphones at the time, and it would pick up the headphones in. So I would hear it constantly. I'd hear my own stuff. Like I'd hear the echo from my co-host talking.
Yeah.
As he's talking, but like just delayed, like a sec, like a half a second. Yeah. So it was just not the best audio quality. And then on top of that was editing, because I'd edit, because we wouldn't have it be like live to tape. Like I have my show now is live to tape basically.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure yours is mostly right.
Yeah.
And so I'd have to go back and edit. So if we had, and we had like the longest shows, like they were like 2 hours sometimes. And like, I'd have to go back and I was one editing on Audacity or GarageBand.
Yeah.
And I'd have to edit for like 2 hours, at least probably four. And then I'd put it up and, you know, and then we'd like get some, I'd do some artwork in like GIMP, because it was too cheap for Photoshop. And Photoshop then, we didn't have a subscription fee every month. It was like you paid $300 for Photoshop, or you get a pirated version, which I don't do.
Yeah.
So it was all that. And then, although my friend did have an in with a very famous podcaster and radio host out of Chicago. Yeah. It was a comic show, and I can't think, John Suntress is his name. And he actually got on his podcast to promote our podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, we didn't get a lot out of it, because this guy also has like a 3-hour, 4-hour podcast, and we were it was like hour three of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was still kind of cool to hear like our podcast mentioned on this show, right?
Well, yeah, because it's kind of like, and by the way, as we're talking about, mentioning at the end is the absolute worst thing. You mentioned throughout. So again, guys, if you're not subscribed to the Becoming Better podcast, hit the link tree right now and subscribe.
Becoming more.
What the hell? What did I say?
You said Becoming Better. That was almost the name I was going to go with.
Becoming More. But... yes. Becoming More. And yes, this will be good Lord. go ahead and subscribe now. And, you know, but it's an interesting thing actually being able to, hear your name, like, because then even though podcast was just kind of like a little bit of a niche, you have this one big podcaster saying your name and you're like, oh my gosh, we've made it. And then you're right. Like, you might get a little bump in exposure, but it's never what you would initially think that something like that would bring.
Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. And you know, we lasted for a little while, but then schedules got tight and, you know, we went on a hiatus, and then we just never came back. And then I almost brought it back. And then I was like, 3 years ago. And then right when I was starting my journey, I was like, I don't know if I really, again, it was like, I don't know if I really want this. And then there's like so many movie podcasts and punditry out there and YouTube shows. And so I was like, I don't really know that what I would do would bring a good, like I would bring something monumental to it. And then it just, you get lost in the noise too. And it's actually funny though, because one podcast I used to listen to a lot was this one called The Top 10 Show. And our podcast actually had a top 10 show element in it.
Yeah.
Like where we basically did every week, we did a different format, and which was a terrible idea. If you do a podcast, you want the consistency.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, you live and you learn. And we did a top 10 show once a month. And I was like, we were doing this before they were doing it. And I was like, it was a good idea. Like these guys have, I mean, they're in Hollywood, so they have more, they're actors and stuff, and say more cachet, but they like literally do live shows where they do their podcast. And I'm like, yeah, that was an idea I had. Like the initial nugget of that idea was like very similar to theirs.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, would have been good.
Well, and I think like the really interesting thing, because that time back then, like you said, they're in Hollywood, they've got more production behind it. It was so much harder to produce a podcast than it is now. Now, like you said, you don't want to get caught in the shuffle, but we're still at kind of this weird time where a lot of people are still trying to check out podcasts for the first time. Like they've heard of it, but they may not really be listening. Or if you say, you know, I have a show and it's on iTunes and it's on Spotify, you know, people get excited about that and you can just send the link to them one-on-one. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. there's definitely a lot more podcasts than there were, and it's much, much easier to put them out. But, you know, the whole thing of like within weight loss, you know, you think, oh my gosh, there's so many weight loss, podcasts out there. But what I found, and I mean, you know this from the ones that you've been on, I mean, everybody's kind of got their own different angle and their different story, and that lends into how they host their show. So but yeah, let's talk about your weight loss journey that you've been on, and then we can go back into the podcast that you're doing right now. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
So when did you mentioned that you were always kind of the bigger guy. When was it kind of like, this is the time for me to start doing this, and how did it go from there?
So I'm going to take you back about 18 months before it happened.
Okay.
Before I really started, this is New Year's Eve 2016. I suffered a pulmonary embolism on the 30th, but 31st was I was in the hospital. And I was there for about a week. It was a combination of bad choices over many years that led to getting blood clot that traveled out to my lungs.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, when you wake up, I fell asleep in my like man cave. And I woke up and I went like, I'm kind of sitting right between the two spots, like 30 feet and from my couch to my bathroom. And I was like gasping for air. And I'm like, that's not normal. Even at 600, I was 623 when I went to the hospital that day. And even at that size, it wasn't normal. So, and then, you know, I had weird, I've never been in the hospital that long up to that point. And I remember, like, I have two things that are still etched in my memory. Is one was when I went to a first hospital and they told me that they didn't think that I could fit in the MRI machine, and that the only one that they thought I could fit in was at the zoo, which, you know, you get hit a lot and you internalize a lot of things. And I internalized that one. Yeah. And that one was tough. Like that one, at first, when she first said it, I didn't even know how to react, but and this is a doctor saying this to me. And then the other one was when I went to the second. So I went from another hospital, and then I went to Johns Hopkins, which is in Baltimore, which, you know, anybody knows that name, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I went there, and like at that, the one doctor, she came in and she says, what let you get to this point? And she gave me like the bariatric pamphlet. And it was like, you should really check this out. And I was like, yeah, I know. And, you know, it's the thing. And I was there for 5 days. Anyway, so I say I was at 623. That was my heaviest. Over the next week, I lost 50 pounds because of being on the diet at the hospital, all that water weight and all the excess like left.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the next year and a half, I would like go up and down and up and down. I was in like the 570s, like all the time. And then in March, I left the hospital January 2017, March 2018, my grandfather passed away, and he was very influential in my life. And but like the last time I saw him was like February of that year, and he said he really wanted me to lose weight, and like it gets me a little choked up still, because he always did. He wasn't heavy, but he had a lot of heavy relatives. So an ironic story is, you know, they always ask you if you have medical history in the family of anything, and pulmonary embolism, I had it first and he had it second. He had it like as he was in his last months. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just one of those like weird things. So then like he died, I was mourning, and like I didn't do anything for a while. And then in May of that year, my wife and I went to Los Angeles for a weekend just as a trip, and we were walking around LA, stayed in Hollywood, you know, walking around like seeing the stars and all that on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and all that. I was just tired, like I was exhausted, and I just said to myself that I was like, I needed like fix this, because it was like a combination where I had to wear sweatpants because I had this like these problems with like all the excess. I also had in my right below my stomach, I had this excess, like it's called a globule. It was like basically filled with like lymphatic fluid and fat after my blood clot. From what I was told, my lymphatic system was damaged, so I had all this pooling, and it just like hung like a pendulum swinging every time I walked. Well, and with that, I couldn't wear shorts. I could, but I didn't like to wear shorts because I would you'd see this like growth coming out of the shorts, the bottom of the shorts. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. So I always wore sweatpants everywhere I went. To work, I wear jeans that were big enough, but I would wear sweatpants. And I was in LA and in like May wearing sweatpants to like Dodger Stadium and stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. And some people are like, well, it's just sweatpants. Like, how bad can sweatpants be? But when you, it's just like that constant mind, mind F. So then like we got back from LA and it was like June of that year, got on the scale and it was 615 or a six. Yeah. 615. It was July. So it was 615, it's like July 11th. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going back. I was like 8 pounds from my heaviest. And I was like, I cannot. So I had found this like Slimming World, which was like a UK Weight Watchers. I saw people on Instagram that used it and like it did well with it. So I was like, if I can do it, I can do it. And so I got on that. And within like my first month, I lost like 25, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And then like after that, it just kept going. It went going really well. And like I lost like, I mean, and then in October that year, we had booked a trip to Paris and London. Because I wanted to go see the Eagles play at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles, not the band. Even though actually we didn't go because the tickets were too expensive. But we still went to Paris and London. And, you know, I was down about 75 pounds at that point. And even that 75 pounds, like I felt fantastic compared to like how, even though it wasn't that much compared to like my original, the two weights weren't that far apart. But even just like feeling a little bit better. And then I lost about 100 pounds within 9 months of starting. So I lost it like in March of 2019. So that's how I started. That's the overall story. Cause I like to give that context just cause it kind of gives more of a picture than just like saying, oh, I started July 2018.
Yeah. And I like that too, because that what that shows is it's not like, well, I woke up one day and this was going to be it. And you'll hear that. And sometimes that's what people decide. They're like, well, it's going to happen. And I mean, you know, you went up and down with it. And then, you know, you had this entire thing where it was starting and stopping and you were, you know, you were in mourning and you were, you know, just trying to figure things out. You're still trying to do this, but you're still putting weight back on. And then you're like, well, wait a minute, I'm very close to where I was at starting wise. I don't want to do that. You know, at my heaviest, I don't want to do that again. And then you start working your way down. So when you, now when you actually started on your the journey that you're working through now, how has that been going for you?
It's been also up and down. I like to say that I've lost 100 pounds twice in 8 months, because I lost 100 pounds in 8 months and then I kind of maintained for a while, because when I mentioned that globule, I lost the first 100 pounds in like March of that year, 2019, and then in June I met with a plastic surgeon to get that removed.
Yeah.
So I got that globule and also lymphedema in my stomach removed with a surgery called a paniculectomy.
Okay.
And until I had that surgery, I pretty much just maintained. Like I lost the 100 and I kind of stayed right around 100, 110 at most. Yeah. So when the surgery went about 510, 505, somewhere in there. And I came out of the surgery wearing 460 because of all the excess fluid and fat and all that got removed.
Yeah.
And then, so that was October of 2019. And then I was recovering. So it's like, they call it a male C-section. And so it's I have a hip to hip scar now, right? Yeah. Where my stomach ends, which is weird. Cause I still have these times where I feel like my old, like fold and it's not there anymore. But, but yeah, so I have this scar. So, I was recovering. I was off from work for a month. And by January, I kind of didn't do anything until January, like, to start up again of 2020. And by January 1st, I weighed like 495. So I was like, I gained 35 pounds in 3 months. Right. And so I was like, yeah, I'm not going back to 500. It was another one of those, I'm not going back.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going back to 500. So January, I was like, I'm not going to do it. So then I slowly started losing, you know, it was pre-pandemic. So I was working full time and all that. And January, February come around and I'm doing decent. Like I lost a couple pounds each month. And then by March, I was down like in the 470s. And then we were off from work and I'm like, in mid-March, the first week we were off for the pandemic, like my job, I can't work remotely. So we had like, we had a week on week off kind of thing at first. Yeah. And so the first week off, I was like, well, I'm going to just go walk around the neighborhood. And I walked around the neighborhood and I slid on some mud and like tweaked my ankle. And cause I didn't realize it was mud. I thought it was just dirt. And so I'm like, yeah. And so I took it easy that week and I just started watching like Avengers movies. And cause I was like, I'll just do an Avengers marathon.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I finished it, you know, then after that next week back to work, we were done for like 2.5 months. We didn't go to work for 2.5 months. Yeah. And I I finished the Avengers marathon and I was like, you know, I should probably make this time more worth it. And because I'm never going to have this time ever again. Right. Yeah. Especially now, like a week away from having meeting my daughter.
Exactly.
So I started like, I was like, all right, well, I follow these people on Instagram. They have great ideas like what to do. And I started taking pieces from like Gourmet and John Arpino and Alex Poro. And like you take your name. I took a piece. Like I didn't take the whole thing.
Fine.
But I took a piece and I took like Frank is losing weight and he walks like freaking 30,000 steps a day. I was like, well, I can do 10, right? Yeah. And I just like I took different pieces and so I started walking I tried to walk every day and doing like originally my goal was like 7,000 steps, but then I was like, and then I got up to 10 by May. And then I was trying to do like let me do intermittent fasting, let me try and like just like eat less frequently throughout the day, all that kind of stuff. So like April comes and April, I think I lost like 9 pounds. And then May came, I lost 21 pounds. June came, I lost like 15 pounds. July, like 20 pounds. Anyway, so from the course of March through end of August, I got down another 100. So I had hit the 200 pound lost, which is, I know you mentioned all my links in my link tree. Well, that was a self-imposed, which is stupid, but a self-imposed like thing was, I'm not going to talk on a podcast about my weight loss until I hit like a significant, what I thought was like air quote significant goal.
Yeah.
And that was originally going to be 300 pounds, which I still haven't hit, but I went with 200 because I remember, and I know Gourmet, I said Gourmet's name like four times. Soon he's going to come out from somewhere. But you know, he had hit me up like a year before this, like August of 2019. Like I lost 100 and I didn't even have 100 followers on Instagram, right? And he hit me up and he found me on my personal account, not even my Becoming Brett. And he's like, I'd really like you on the Fat Guy Forum. I'd like you to tell your story on my podcast. And I didn't expect it. And it was one of those things, I mean, I knew about the podcast, but like, these are like, the people that were on it were like huge accounts and stuff. And I'm like, Beast to Beast was on it and Poro and John and all them. And I'm like, okay. I said, I don't think I'm quite ready. And the truth was I wasn't, because I lost that first 100 pounds without changing my mindset at all.
Right.
Hence the maintaining for that year after. Right. So that's kind of how my weight loss is gone. I mean, now I've hit about 230, 240 lost. I'm kind of been yo-yoing a little bit the last month or so with, you know, we have like baby showers and Memorial Day and all that, but for the most part, getting closer to that 300 eventually.
So there's really a few things that I think are huge and that could be super helpful for anybody that's working through their weight loss process or their journey. You looked at what other people were doing and you took bits and pieces, but you made it fit what you were either able or willing to do. And I think that's huge. And I think when you look at this like that, where instead of saying, okay, I have to follow one rigid way of doing it, you can say, oh, this person's doing this, this person's doing this. And you can pick out the stuff that you think is going to work for you. I think that's definitely, I mean, that's the way to go, because you're building something that's more sustainable for you for the rest of your life. We'll definitely get into, you said your mindset hadn't changed yet. And I before we get into that, because I think the mindset is huge. I know that's something that you're really big on. What you're illustrating is this whole thing of like, you look at it in the moment and the microcosm of like the years of you trying to lose weight, and you would say that I'm not really like, I'm just not really into it yet, or my mindset hasn't changed. But when you look at this as this all starts to play out, and we're talking like 10, 20, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, this is just where you were really kind of figuring this stuff out. And you get other things going on or other things on your mind, things that prevented you at times from losing weight, things that would make you actually gain weight, but things that you eventually figured out how to work around or, you know, kind of build upon. And it really, when you look at it, is just this really big process that's kind of a lifelong thing. You're really pretty early on in the game. Now, something else that you mentioned, because I've had a couple conversations about this. You mentioned after the surgery, you still actually felt like, you know, what was there before with the skin was still there. And, you know, a lot of times when people talk about body dysmorphia, they just think of like when you look in a mirror and you see your old self. But I've heard like, I've heard a number of people talk about this. Like you literally, you feel your old body is there, even though physically it's not. And that, you know, is it, that messes with your mind more than anything. I mean, we'll talk a little bit as we kind of transition into the mindset piece of this. What are some other, like, that's a huge obstacle if you want to talk a little bit more about that, but what are some other mental blocks that you've had or things that you've really had to work through to get from where you were to where you are right now? And stuff that you're still
probably working through. So the skin thing that I mentioned was mostly, I think it's mostly nerve endings than anything. It's just like I used to, this is gross kind of, but I used to, you know, sweat a lot down there, right?
Yeah.
And it would itch and I'd scratch it. And that's sometimes I'll get that itch and there's nothing to scratch anymore, right? Yeah. Like I'll literally scratch what's there, but it doesn't do anything.
Right.
I think it's I don't know what it is. but yeah, so that's not too much of an obstacle because like I really am glad I don't have that anymore. but yeah, the biggest things are stress. That's like one of the biggest is because like I have two things I go for. I either eat something or I chew my nails, and both are bad habits. Right. So that I try to manage my stress a lot better. Sometimes, you know, you have deadlines at work and stuff comes up, you're still gonna be stressed. Like there's no easy answer for that. I try to, one of the things I've come across doing, because as much as I used to hate water, like, because I always wanted something that tasted good, and I always said water tastes terrible.
Yeah.
It's still not my favorite thing, but I'll chug. Like, I always have. I'll show you. I have like this bottle that you can't see now. Yes. Whatever. Yeah. It's stupid virtual background. So I have this bottle of water that I keep with me at my desk, and like it holds 32 ounces, and I'll chug like half of it at least. Yeah, and I'll chug it, and you know sometimes that'll help me hold out. But then sometimes it doesn't. And then sometimes I'm also at the point where I have like a snack meal built in at work every day, and I have it prepared. And if I'm like feeling like I need something else, I'll go to the vending machine and get something else. Yeah. And I don't beat myself up about it. I don't like, you know, kick my ass. I don't get mad about it. I just do it because it doesn't happen often. But sometimes when it does, it does. And it's like, okay, so I traded a 250 calorie protein bar for a 300 calorie bag of pretzels or something. Yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to end my diet. It's not going to end like losing 240 pounds. It's not going to end a lot of stuff. It won't advance it, but it's not going to end it. And like, that's where like a lot of my, that's a lot of the mindset change that we'll get into, but I mean, it might help it. It might. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily like when you look at a bag of Doritos, you're not thinking that's going to help you diet, right?
Well, here's the thing, because and this is where social media doesn't help with all of this, because it's very easy to look at what somebody's eating and they've got their plan that they follow, and anytime you eat something that isn't on that plan, it gets labeled bad. Mm-hmm. Foods have become good or bad. And the problem when you start talking good or bad, putting that label on food, is eventually that label goes from the food itself to the person that's eating it. So, you know, I've been good, I've been bad. You're looking at this from a very logical perspective, which is on a couple levels. One, the calorie difference between a protein bar and pretzels or Doritos or whatever, it's not going to be all that different. And the impact on that really in the course of your day, probably if you want to get that micro on it, probably wouldn't even be that different. Definitely over the course of time, because you said you're not doing this all that often. There's no impact. I think the big thing is, and this is the hardest thing when you talk about a mindset change, this is, I think, what people have a really hard time with, is just being able to make their choices and not really label them as good or bad, but more or less just observe them and move forward, because you've got another one. I'm like, you've got more meals that you're going to eat. You're going to decide whether or not you're going to work out. You're going to decide how you're going to manage your stress for the day. Like, there's so many choices. And instead of like trying to live in a world of absolutes, that this is good or this is bad, it's really more about kind of like the sliding scale thing, where instead of having a zero or a 10, let's live in 6 and 7 land and see where we can go. Yeah, 6 and 7s over the course of time are going to do great. So no, I think that's actually a huge thing to point out.
Yeah. And remember, only a Sith deals in absolutes.
You know what? I really, really appreciate that you brought that up, because I, we were doing the Win a Clicks podcast yesterday with Amber, another Eagles fan. And yeah, she was like, and I was saying, you know, nothing can be done in absolutes. I'm like, you see how it worked out for the Sith. Dude, nothing. So I can appreciate your Star Wars reference. And yes, I want to say.
And going back to the pretzel thing, because, you know, it's funny too, is a couple years ago, if I had like bags, like I used to take like snacks and I'd have multiple in my drawer at work. And it'd be one of those things where like I'd go to it multiple times a day, right? But like today, so this, I had a bag on like Thursday. And when I got it, the vending machine had one stuck. So I got two.
Yeah.
And the second one has been in my drawer since that day, since Thursday. I opened my drawer today and I saw it there when I was going for something else. And I was like, oh, forgot about that. And then, but I didn't go after it. Right. Like I didn't need it. And that, like, I was like, that's just another part of the mindset shift. Cause I'm like, I don't think about, like, I didn't think about it again till just now as we were talking, but yeah.
Well, and that's another thing too, is like literally how much of this you hear about non-scale victories, but it's finding victories wherever. And the fact that you had these two, and how easy would it have been on Thursday to just been like, this was free. I can just have both of them.
Yeah. It's been very easy. Very. Yeah,
you put it in your desk and you're still like every time you look at it and you're like, I don't need you. You know, it's a little victory, man. I like, mm-hmm. That's the mindset stuff. That's what we all talk about with it.
Yep. For sure. Yeah. It was the mindset that was like the toughest, because you don't even realize at first how tough it is. Right. I've gone from saying, like, I used to say that this journey was like 90% nutrition and 10% exercise to being 50% mindset and then like 40% nutrition and 10% exercise. Yeah. It's just made up numbers. It's like Whose Line. but it really is like, it's like you can't get over it if you don't have the mindset right. Because you can, even in my case, you can lose 100 pounds and still like not have the mindset right.
Yeah. And the mindset is the really hard part with all this stuff, because it goes against what we've been taught weight loss is supposed to be about. We're taught it's supposed to be about restriction, being good, and, you know, really, really grinding it out. And what we're talking about here, and this is how I think sustainable weight loss really works, is you start going through this in your life. You've probably tried to, you know, you try to lose weight a number of times.
Oh yeah.
Eventually, you know, some people, they'll say that it just automatically just, the switch goes on one day. And I think that does happen. Sometimes people do just get tired of it, but more often I think it's kind of this slow, gradual progression where you start making changes. Sometimes you revert back, because we all do that. We all quote unquote slip up or whatever. But you just, you keep plodding along. And then eventually you kind of look back and you're like, over the course of like 4 or 5 years, you're like, oh, wait a minute, look, I've done this. And then you just kind of, like, you keep moving on, and then little by little stuff changes. And like you're saying right now, like, you've made a mindset shift, and that's the hardest part, I think, for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. And, you know, earlier when you mentioned also was, you know, people go from calling the bad food to being like, I was bad.
Yeah.
Like I have a friend who says that to me when they don't like follow their quote unquote plan that they've created for themselves. Yeah. And every time I'm like, you know, like I have quote unquote bad snacks for my snack meal. Sometimes like I have rice cakes and peanut butter. Like that's not like your branded health food. Right. But it works within like my macros and all that stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I mean, I think the fascinating thing when you start talking about good and bad is different things work for different reasons. So like if rice cakes and peanut butter for you are satisfying enough to where it's like, hey, this is better than going and, you know, getting, and everything's relative, and you try to, like, you know, because I was going to say than getting like a Reese cups or whatever, but like, again, what are we using to compare? Like the easy thing to compare about, and this really works with weight loss, is okay, the calories. So just like with the protein bar at 250 and the pretzels at 300, you know, that's something you're comparing yourself against. That's not the only thing that you can compare against. You can also say, okay, well, what has more sugar in it? Which has more protein? Like there's, you know, I think if you can find one thing to compare about, it's never good or bad. It's like, oh, you know, one choice and a slightly better choice. So, and like things like that, when we're, you know, it is these little things. So it's like saying little things like that in your head. It is like every time you look at the extra snack in your desk that you still don't need. And you're like, yeah. It's, you know, taking a moment to kind of fist bump yourself and be like, yeah, you're sitting there. I know you're sitting there. I don't need to eat you. You know, but like, it's the little things like that day to day, I think that, that really add up and really help with this stuff.
Yeah. I always say to people, and I used to say this on Instagram a lot, I don't say it as much anymore, but is like small incremental changes lead to sustained results. Not even great, doesn't even have to be great results, but usually it is. Yeah. But sustained results are like so key, because if you can do it, if you can do it for any like a lengthy period of time of more than like 3 weeks, like you can do it long term, I feel like, for the most part.
Yeah. And I mean, I and that again is counter to what we see. You know, what you see is when somebody gets back on a program after being off for a while and they have the dramatic loss for a couple weeks or a couple months, and they start like really going by that scale number and they get fired up by it. But the problem with that is that eventually that number is going to slow down. And because again, like water weight and the initial weight loss is gone. And then it's like, well, what is it that's motivating you? And if you're able to really focus on those small incremental changes and start seeing differences in those, the weight almost becomes a byproduct. I mean, you still weigh in however often you weigh in, but it's not your main focus. You're focusing on the changes that you're making and just really taking your time and pacing yourself.
Yeah. And I was just talking about this with someone else on my podcast. I don't remember which one. But you know, a couple months ago I had hit like 215 down or 210 and even 200. And I, the same clothes that I wore then that I wear now, and the weight hasn't changed that drastically. Like the way the clothes fit is drastic. And it's just like, that's just another indicator that I'm doing it right. Whether it might just be muscle building for all I know. I don't know. I'm not going to try to figure it out. Cause I always go back to the, well, you know, muscle building is what people that are overweight always say that is happening, is why they're not, is why the scale's not going down. But I don't like, I hate to be like, say the scale's not important, because it is, but it's also like not the only thing that keeps me going as much anymore. Like I want to see the number go down, but I also know that I'm not getting bigger than I was, in at least as far as clothes go. Cause like my jeans are bigger on me now. My shirts are bigger on me, like all that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and the scale is important. I mean, it plays into stuff for each, like for each of us. The only thing that I ever try to get people to do, and I'm like, I don't care how often you get on the scale, but just try to look at it as a data point. Try to look at it as, this is really a big lifelong experiment, where, because that's really what we're talking about. Like, we're running our own little experiment. We're trying little things. At, you know, we test things out. If something seems to work for us and we enjoy it and it's sustainable, we'll keep it. If it's not, we'll push it to the side and try something else. And all along, yes, you are getting on the scale. You are taking progress photos. You are taking measurements and stuff. It's just trying to say, okay, can I focus more on the process that I'm going through instead of like the outcomes, which is what the scale number is. But but yeah, I mean, it's something, and I'm glad that we've taken the time to kind of go through the mindset shift a little bit on this and really building incremental sustainable change. Because I think if you talk about that from different ways, I'm just hoping that somebody that's listening to this, that's been trying to lose weight and has been focusing on the scale as the main priority, and is like, why can't I get this? The stuff that we're talking about right now, this is what leads to the actual results, the real results, the ones that you can maintain.
Yeah. And I like to tell people, because a lot of people are worried about soda, because like they always want, they don't want to give up their soda. And I tell them, you know, you don't have to give up it entirely if you don't want to. You can just give up one, like one a day, like one can, and do like water instead for that, like that one drink. And that can start to lead you towards less. Cause I, like I said, I used to hate water. I used to drink a gallon of diet iced tea every day.
Yeah.
And now I drink a gallon of water and I might have one glass of iced tea. Usually it's more like I have a, cause it's my container, so I have a swig.
Yeah.
just for a little flavor for like a shot. Right.
Gotcha. Shot iced tea.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you become a dad in your 30s. You start taking shots of iced tea. This is the norm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's, and see, again, like, this is how you do it. If you're drinking five sodas a day, well, at first drink water in addition to your soda, because eventually if you're drinking water, one of those sodas is going to go away. Then you're drinking water and four sodas. And then eventually you find a balance. I mean, there are people that are losing weight that are drinking, you know, regular soda a day. I don't know how much they are, but I mean, it can be done. It's all relative to kind of where they started and where they are at the moment. So, but I mean, yeah, I think what you're talking about with small incremental changes leading to meaningful results. And I like that you put on there that not necessarily huge, although that's the punchline. If people really focus on this slow building way of doing this over the course of time, they're going to end up losing more weight than they would, you know, yo-yoing on the
yeah, for sure.
More fixed plans. But I do want to go ahead. So let's go ahead and transition. I do want to talk more about the Becoming More podcast. So what is kind of the, you know, you said that you kind of toyed around with putting another podcast out. What made you finally decide, okay, this is the time to do it. And let's talk a little bit more about the format.
Well, you know, the best time to do it is when you're about to have a baby, and as if working that isn't going to be enough.
Should write a book.
Yeah. Actually, I thought about that as well. Mm-hmm. Some people or friends of mine tell me I should. So I have a whole spiel of what it's about, but really, so far, because I'm early on it, early into it at this point as we're recording, mm-hmm. It's mostly about talking about people about their weight loss changes, so their weight loss journeys and how they've changed. And then at UON, and we also talked about, you know, a lot of other stuff and the normal weight loss journey stories. But because my goal is to have people that have had drastic weight loss journeys, people that help people with getting those. Through those journeys, not even getting through, but working towards their goals on those journeys. And then also the people that support them in other ways, like family members, stuff like that. Cause it's like I have like a holistic view of it, because I'm a support person for people. I'm also like toying with coaching and have a friend who wants to lose. And it seems like my beta test for my trying to be a coach.
How it starts.
Yeah. And then, you know, just, I've lost a lot of weight, and I find so much inspiration for myself as I, like last year when I was telling you about how I was walking all the time, I listen to a lot of these podcasts and I hear people's stories, and I'm just like, man, that's like incredible. Like some of these stories, and like, I would wind up reaching out to people, and it's like, I'd use the show notes and all these podcasts, and I'd reach out to people on Instagram and be like, hey, I really like loved your story. I really inspiring. And like, we become friends. And like one guy even had the same surgery I had. We had it about a month apart. Yeah. And he was on my podcast recently too. So it's just being able to be another avenue for people to tell their story, get their story out there, have people hear it.
Yeah.
People that might not listen to podcasts because they like follow me. Right. Yeah. I mean, I had somebody that reached out to me after they heard mine, and they said that I don't usually listen to podcasts, but I listen to yours, and it was like really touching and all that stuff. And so that's my goal, is just to reach more people that don't hear, or like in the case of one of my friends on Instagram, they've never told their story, and they're going to tell it to me because we're friends. Like we were friends like for a year or so before I ever had a podcast.
That's cool.
And I feel like getting other people, getting new stories out there from different perspectives and different backgrounds, you might reach other people that have something similar. So, and might help other people start a journey of some kind, whether it's weight loss surgery, not weight loss surgery, you know, keto, paleo, take your pick, go, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Cause like I said earlier, I took pieces from everything, even though I'm not strictly one thing or another.
Exactly. And I think that is really the nice thing when you have an interview format, when people are just going on to share their stories, because you could literally identify with somebody because of their career path or whatever. You could, I really want to follow everything that they do to the T, or you might take one thing out of this particular podcast or this one particular story, then take a couple other things from somebody else's and do your own thing. I mean, but yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's, and I like that you're having people on that support people that are trying to lose weight, because I think that's a perspective again that you don't hear as often. And I think that's huge. Now, as far as the coaching, I think is great, because really anytime that you're helping somebody else kind of figure this stuff out, as long as you're somebody that's a little bit further along in that, well, that's, I guess, usually further along in that process, then, you know, you can be a coach. Like it's all about the intent and, you know, how you're really wanting to see somebody succeed. But yeah, the way you're doing it, that's pretty much how coaching, I think, starts for a lot of folks. But, But yeah, I think the podcast, I like the format. I know you've been crushing the, I mean, you've been doing a ton of interviews, and just as of right now, the last one you recorded, when is that one going to be set to come out?
The last one I recorded isn't coming out till October. And it's June 1st.
And these are once a week, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I've recorded, let's see, 14, 15, 17 so far.
Okay.
And I'm recording another 5 this week.
And for perspective, you and I talked last week on Friday. I think I was in August.
Yeah, you were you're mid-August, yeah. So I have a couple, so I'm kind of like so for this, I really feel like a lot of podcasts, because I mean, some are geared towards men, some are geared towards women, and I really want to have both on the podcast. So I've been kind of mixing up the order, so I have women every couple episodes, because I feel like I'd rather not have a sausage fest for like 10 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I kind of want to put in, I have some people that don't have a large following too, because that what Gormie did with me when he reached out to me meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I always said that he would be the first one to do as a guest. And then when I created this podcast, he was also the first one I'm going to do with a podcast. It seriously meant a lot. I don't even know if he knows that, but I think I kind of told him that once, but it really didn't, because it, like, when I wasn't in a dark place, but I was like, not like confident that I was going to be able to keep going at that point. Right.
Right.
And those kind of things pump you up. But yeah, so I kind of mix and matching as I go. And then I also, with my show as well, I want to every now and then do an episode that's not related to anything weight loss. So like, have stuff like when NFL season rolls around, like the week before, have like an NFL roundtable kind of thing, or have like a, I don't know, pro wrestling talk or something, just something like that kind of shift away for a week.
I will tell you, I would be up to be on either one of those or both.
Yeah. Yes, because I feel like, and that's, I left this out of when I described. So in every episode, I also like to know about a hobby or an interest of each guest that is not weight loss related, because I feel like so many episodes, you get to know all about somebody's weight loss, but you don't really know about the person sometimes. Like, you hear about their journey, but you don't hear about like what makes them tick, or like when I gave you the context of my weight, of what's made me start, right? So you don't hear all that all the time. You just hear the numbers and the progression and like what we're doing and I know where we want to go. Yeah. So I like to, and I've had stuff from like, I've had like Marvel, DC, Star Wars, which are, I knew they were coming. And then we did pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Did making and flying kites.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And like, and it was other things like that, but it was just like, it's a vast array, and it's like you learn something different, and you can like, and you can also be like, hey, this person likes something I like.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Maybe I didn't know. If you follow John Arpino, you don't know he likes pro wrestling. Well,
yeah, that's
but maybe, you know, hasn't been on yet. I haven't recorded with him yet. I'm recording this week with him. But maybe there's some other interest that he's going to manage, and I don't know. But yeah. So I feel like sometimes you're missing that touch of the of like some other aspect of the person's personality other than weight loss. So,
and I think those are the, especially when people are in the weight loss community, I think those things outside of weight loss are where you really connect with somebody, because you're right. We all hear the same, like the weight loss part of it, but I can guarantee you, if somebody's listening to this and they're interested in kites, and they hear that kite story, like that's going to be the person that they will DM that person straight away while they're listening to the conversation. But I think that stuff, I mean, that's really what all the stuff on social media is about. I think, I mean, weight loss is one common thing, but I think when you can find other things, stuff that people really geek out about, I think that's the biggest part of it.
Oh, for sure.
Now you mentioned, yes, we had a wonderful conversation about pro wrestling. And we talked about Star Wars, and we talked about some other stuff too. I do have a question for you. I did not prep you for this. I want to know your top three wrestlers of all time, in order.
In order.
In order. Yes.
Okay. So number three is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, there's no need to go beyond that. Number two, and this is tough.
Yeah.
Number two is Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
I don't know why I always liked, I think it was when he was in the Rockers and he had the tassels everywhere, kind of like Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not crazy. And then number one, Sting, but specifically Surfer Sting. Because yeah. he was my favorite as a kid. I like Crow as well, but you know, Surfer Sting was just like perfect. And you know, it really floored me. So November of 2019, they had this convention called StarCast, yeah. which was like a pro wrestling convention.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
They had it in Baltimore. I live in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And that weekend, my wife and I got tickets to see Elton John in Philly. And Sting was going to be there in Baltimore in his Surfer Sting garb. And I was like, you got to be effing kidding me. Because I couldn't go because I was going to be out of town.
Yeah.
It was just one of those ultimate, like, man, like I can't believe, like, the one time of all the weekends, any other weekend he picks, like, I would have been there.
And that one, I feel like, because I actually remember hearing the advertisement for that, because I think that was, that had to have been, that had to be Bruce Pritchard's podcast that I heard the ad for.
Yeah, because yes, Conrad Thompson runs them all. Thompson's so good. Yeah, he it was his show.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I was just Surfer Sting, which I know a lot of people would say that he was their version of Hulk Hogan. Now I liked that version of Sting. I actually like you. I liked that more so than the Crow Sting, because I thought that was too much of a ripoff of the Crow.
Well, also the Crow didn't pay off. Like it didn't pay off in the story of the Crow, because after he like beat Hogan and all that in 97,
yeah,
and they had like shortly in the 98 when he joined the Wolfpack, he's basically back to the Surfer Sting, but with the stupid face, with not having the face paint. Like he was basically the same guy again. He wasn't the creepy Crow Sting.
Yeah, I mean the buildup with Crow Sting was crazy, because he was just up in the rafters all the time, like in one moving. Then he finally came down to the ring. But yeah, by the time, that's the whole thing. When by the time the Wolfpack came in, it was like, yeah, the NWO thing was kind of.
I will say I like the Wolfpack music. It's one of my favorites.
Because
I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager and I was out of wrestling for a while, and then I got back into it in 98, and I didn't know about the NWO. Like I didn't watch when the NWO happened, DX, any of that. And then I started going to Blockbuster every weekend and like renting pay-per-views over like for, so I could eat like in sequence. So I would know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then I remember I started doing the thing where I would go on the websites, and like back then websites were in their infancy. True. And you could easily find links. You could figure out the path to the link. I was into web design a bit. I could figure out the path of the links to download themes from like WWF.com, WCW.com. Yeah. So I would download like their entire music library on my computer. It would take me forever, because it was like, I don't know if we had, I think we were still dial up, but we were like 56K, and it would take me forever to download, but I would download them. And I had like the Wolfpack and like the NWO music, and because I was that nerd.
And that's when you would burn the CDs, and you would have the CD player in your car, and it was either the CD player that hooked up to the lighter, or if you were really fancy, you had one of the CD players that had the detachable face, because people would steal those things out of cars.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mine got stolen once when I left the face in.
Yeah, you could never leave the face in, and you could never leave your book of CDs, of burnt CDs on.
We actually found out one of our old books of burnt CDs the other week when we cleaned out our basement. And I was like, Jesus, I just threw it out. I was like, these. I mean, I kept the few that were actual CDs, but the ones that were just burnt, I'm like, yeah, we're not going to listen to these. Right. We have like Spotify and YouTube.
That's one thing I still have trouble getting my mind around. Like literally, we used to have to go buy CDs for two or three songs in many cases. And now you'll just get a notification from Spotify. Hey, so-and-so has a new album out. Do you want to listen to it? It's like, this is just wild. It's completely different than what we grew up with.
So. Yeah. It is. And I mean, I still buy, occasionally I'll buy songs if it's something I really like.
Yeah.
But again, I'm paying $1.99 or $1.29, whatever it is, instead of paying $17 from the wall or wherever your local place was, Sam Goody. Yeah. And so I'm paying $1 instead of $17. And I get the one song I wanted, because that's what we always did, right? You always had the one, you buy a whole CD and you're like, I just want it for this one song. And that's it.
And then you try to listen to the rest of it, and you're like, "Yeah, I don't really like this. This isn't good."
Mm-hmm.
And then you would go about the next weekend, or not long after that and do the same thing. So yeah, that was that's how it was. So all right, again, as we start to wrap up here, guys, I want you to make sure that you go and check out the link tree that's in the show notes. It's the Becoming More podcast. Go ahead and subscribe to that as well. And Brett, as we start to wrap things up, I've also got your Instagram linked up in the show notes. Is there anywhere else that we need to send folks?
You can just go to becomingbrett.com.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, yes, make sure that that you guys are subscribed to the podcast. Make sure that you shoot Brett a message here. Let him know what you thought of everything that we talked about. And this was fun, man. I'm glad that we got to kind of go back and forth on each other's pods. And I'm sure we'll do it again sometime, probably fairly soon.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right.
All right. See ya.